Well, let's go ahead. Let's go to John chapter 3. It was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, Nicodemus was in the Sanhedrin. He was a very wealthy man. What member of the 72, which is the leadership of similar to our Senate, except more so. And he came to him at night because he didn't want anybody seeing him come to him. He said, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him. He didn't answer his question. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, the idea of being born again is the beginning. Nothing else can happen until that takes place. And you're born again in the same way that a man is born. Remember, I've told you so often, the human race is God's sperm cells. And the sperm cell must enter into the egg in order that a new creation can come to pass. When the sperm cell enters into the egg, all activity, every aspect of the sperm cell is gone. There's no more identity because it has a new thing has been created inside the egg. And the egg, in conjunction with the sperm cell, create the new being. And that's why it's so critical that you understand there's only two left. There's only Babylon and the bride. There's only the whore of Babylon and the bride that's left. And it doesn't matter what labels you use. It doesn't matter what things you say. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters if you haven't been yet born again. You're born again by you as the egg, presenting yourself as a living sacrifice and entering into the New Jerusalem. But that New Jerusalem, once you enter into that New Jerusalem, everything about you and everything about your past is gone forever. There's no tomorrow and there's no yesterday. Now, until you understand that, until you have seen that that has happened to you, everything else is meaningless. Now, does everybody understand that as the predicate of what we're about? That's what it means to be born again. If you haven't been born again, you will spend your rest of your life being an observer. You will never, ever know. You will never, ever. You can watch. you can talk about, you can study. But you, when you meet him, he will say, "I never knew you, you worker of iniquity," because of the curse, the only thing you're able to do is self-seeking. Now, until you know this, all the study about Babylon, all the study about who Babylon is and what it is, all the study about the mystery of Christ, all the study about the cross, the abandonment of self, and everything else is meaningless. Because except a man be born again, he cannot even see or perceive or know the kingdom of God. Except you be converted and become as a little child, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. The only way you can become as that little child, in other words, you lose self-awareness, is to be born again, to enter into the New Jerusalem. There's only one way to enter into the New Jerusalem, and that is to present yourself as a living sacrifice, to know that you've tried everything else, and you finally say, "Father, I give up. I give up trying to know you. I give up trying to understand you. I give up trying to see anything. I give my own life up completely." Until that happens, you're simply a stupid observer. Anybody have any response?
And that doesn't happen until you come to the end of it.
That's right.
All of your own efforts.
Anybody else?
What does it mean to be born of the water?
You're born of the water because the water breaks when the natural birth. You're born of the Spirit when you enter into the New Jerusalem. All right, so everybody has that. Everybody understands that. Now let's begin to look at this place called the New Jerusalem. Go to Galatians 4 first. Now this place is available to everybody, but it is without condition. And it's interesting how, because of the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, which is your mind, you can convince yourself you've been born again, but you'll always have that nagging doubt. You're not quite sure. And then your life will just be a Gentile trying to be good, trying to get better, trying to get fixed, trying to make something happen. Because you, until that born-again experience happens, you do not have the capacity to live like we always say, that you live in the same manner that Adam and Eve did, before the fall, where they did not have the capacity to believe that the moment they were in should be different than it was. The only way that happens, that's the evidence that you've been born again. Now, it doesn't matter. People can be around for 50 years and they haven't been born again. It has nothing to do with walking down the aisle. It has nothing to do with accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. It has nothing to do with making a decision for Christ, because all those things are based still on having enough strength to make a decision. This comes when you've come to the total and complete end of yourself.
Just over there where that sincerity really is powerful.
Oh, it's the most powerful deception there is.
If you really mean it, you're sincere.
That's why I make fun of sincerity so totally. Yeah. Some of you know. You've heard of that. What?
I'm just sort of still back about 3 minutes ago about a
fallen being trying to, existing as a fallen being, trying to be good. It's like, I don't know, but it reminds me, I wish that you were either hot or cold.
Yeah.
I mean, either be a fallen being with everything you've got, or be born again. What a horrible, boring, terrible, futile place to be trying to be good.
Galatians 4, verse 11. I am afraid of you or for you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know how that through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. In my temptation or test, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I now therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Now, again, they're not talking about desiring to be under the Jewish law. They're desiring to be under, the word law here is nomos, and it means the way a thing works. Tell me, you that desire to be under this cause and effect, reward and punishment. Tell me, you that desire to have a principle. Tell me, you that desire to have an answer. Tell me, you that desire to have a solution. That's what it means to be under the law. Can you comprehend that? Tell me, you that desire to have an answer. Do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. That's us. We are all born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. For those are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which is where the law was given. And this is an incredible statement. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage. But it's not just talking about the Mount Sinai that's there in Arabia. It's talking about the Mount Sinai in you. Your value system of the way you think things should be. This is your Jerusalem that now is. And that is the same as the Jerusalem, the Mount Sinai there, and both of them gendereth to bondage.
Gendereth meaning just tend towards?
Well, it produces. He who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. You can't believe, for Jews to read this, it would just infuriate them. But no more than it will infuriate you because of your Jerusalem that now is and your idiotic value systems. It hasn't changed. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. On the Zohar and other ancient texts, the goal of life is to have the heavenly Jerusalem or the heavenly Matrona and the earthly Matrona meet. And the earthly Matrona is each of the satyrs. That's what they all say, each of the minions. So the goal of everything is to have the heavenly and the earthly meet. And when that happens, everything is over.
That's interesting. That's not the same as having heaven on earth.
No.
Though I'm sure some could see it that way.
No. No, it's heaven in earth. That's how the two meet, not on earth. Okay? The Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. How can it be the mother of us all? It's the mother of us all because it is the egg into which we, at being born again, had to be consumed by. Everybody see this clearly? You understand, Ronnie? Michael? For it is written, huh?
That makes us the sperm cell.
That's right. The human race is God's sperm cell. And people get really ticked off when I say that. God calls the human race worms and grasshoppers. I call them sperm cells, and everybody gets ticked off at me. You can't believe the crap I had to put up with and the depositions over that. Well, Mr. Anthony, it seems you're pretty concerned with sex.
Yes, they are.
They had all of the things. They had everything I'd ever said on radio or television, and they had an army of private investigators and other idiots marking everything down and making questions.
I gave them the tapes.
I know you did. And then Doug reported us to Cult Awareness Network or somebody. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, so even so it is now. Now, do you hear? Your being, given any sway whatsoever, your you-ness, can do nothing but persecute this seed. That's its job. It can never be a friend of it. It can do nothing but persecute it in you and in others. Now, once you understand that, then you can begin to abandon yourself and not be a debtor to your senses and your emotions and your mind anymore. But it can do nothing but persecute the seed. It can do nothing but persecute Christ. I promise you, had you been alive, you would have yelled, crucify him. At best, or more likely, you would have been nailing the nails into his hands and feet and putting the crown of thorns on his head. Remember what Luther said? He said, every time your hand finds something to do that doesn't originate from spirit, it's pounding the nails in his flesh, in his hands. And every time you think you have to go somewhere or do something, it's pounding the nail in his feet. Every time you allow your mind to think and proceed on these idiotic trips that it goes on, you're pounding the crown of thorns into his head. And every time you think something is wrong, you've crucified him afresh. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the promise. So what do we do? Cast out means to divorce. We divorce ourselves, and we divorce our mothers and our fathers. We divorce everything that made us us. Remember he said, no man cometh to the Father except he hate his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, his wife, and his children, yea, and his own life also. And it doesn't mean love less. It means hate. Because you hate in any way the labels that produced you. And so finally, you can look at all of those labels as simply brothers and sisters in Christ instead of the baggage that produced you. This is big. Because if you react any differently to anyone, including your parents, than you do to anyone here, then you are a respecter of persons and you're guilty of the whole law. Does everybody understand that? You've all heard me tell a story about Harry when he got so, he was just infuriated because I treated my mother the same way I treat you. Then I went with him to his mother, and oh, she's such a, he just worships her. Except when he's away from her, that bitch.
Just obnoxious to everybody.
Huh? Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are no longer children of the bondwoman, but of the free, because our identity is now the New Jerusalem. All right, let's go to Hebrews 12.
I was thinking how closely that 29 parallels in John about being born out of the flesh, like born of water, born of spirit.
Right. Hebrews 12. Tell him, Ronnie. Okay, I think the last, whenever I was here last, we studied Hebrews 12, part of it. And then we talked about, in verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Why did he find no place of repentance? Because he wasn't born again. And he did not know this mystery of Christ in him, the hope of glory. All he could do was be sorry. Oh, I'm sorry I did that. That's not repentance. That's the repentance of the world, which leadeth to sorrow. The repentance of God is the repentance not to be repented of. You leave yourself behind. All of you.
Just a sidelight, it's important to recognize someone who's crying sincerely, because that touches your heart. Oh, they're crying, for repentance.
Yeah. You've seen how I dealt with that a few times.
First time I noticed that word, he sought it carefully. Carefully. Yeah. Repentance is a gift of God. So you couldn't find repentance because he was looking for it. Is that right?
Well, he couldn't find repentance because he wasn't born again. All that he was able to do, all that any human being is able to do, is to seek it carefully with tears.
He was seeking a way to do what had happened. I mean, he was
right.
Seeking a way
to make things better, fix it.
Yeah, and carefully with every way to try and find that, but he never found a way to do it.
Meanwhile, the sin offering was sitting there staring him in the face.
All right. 4. This is where we are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion. By the way, there's no place in this Bible where it says that Moses exceedingly feared and quaked. It's in the Talmud. And so that this proves that
he's quoting
the Talmud, not the, and they that proves the authority that they gave the Talmud. That's one of hundreds of places. But
proves that a Jew wrote this.
Yeah. And a lot of other stuff. Well, no. There's a whole lot of doubt about who wrote.
Who wrote Hebrews.
I'm convinced that Paul wrote it, but there's a whole lot of. I mean, he wrote it because he dictated it, and somebody wrote it. It's a little bit different, stylish. What's the word I'm looking for?
Stylistically
than his other writings. But I'm sure that he was blind and he dictated it, and somebody. All right. No, that's not true. His name is John Hebrew. Oli Hebrew, that's what it was.
The Hebrew children.
But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto this and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, unto an innumerable company of angels. Again, we are come unto the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. Not to some hunk of land in the Middle East. That's gone. That's gone forever, and its significance is over forever. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now the purpose of the preaching of the cross is to shake everything, so that when he shakes everything, you will remain stable. That's never changed. It's bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Amen? Okay, let's go quickly one other. Go to Hebrews 13:12. I'm proud of you, Ronnie. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city. But we seek one to come, or one who's a one. We seek, remember the word come there is always peruse, that means to come, or that which is presence. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. All right, we'll look at more of the New Jerusalem scriptures later. But everybody understand, the human race has got our God's sperm cells. They have no more importance to God than the sperm cells that you have, wherever you've dumped them. The ones that he sees are the ones that have gone into the egg and a new creation was formed. Does everybody understand that? Now, if you say this to anybody, they'll really get mad at you. Trust me.
Why don't we just say that this is what Ellie says?
Okay, anybody have any other response?
It seems like that sperm cells want that. That's their whole purpose, is to find the egg and then die.
That's the only purpose of the sperm cell. But remember the rarity of this. You know, most of the sperm cells find a place up in the birth canal and stop and settle there. And they say, this is where we're going to settle. Find a nice little niche.
Those are amazing sperm cells.
Work hard and strive.
Ben Franklin.
God helps the sperm cells that helps themselves. Are you dismissing us, Robert? Anybody else?
When you talk about the seed has been shed,
that's the seed, sperma. In Greek, it's seed. In the New Testament, it's sperma. In the Old Testament, zeroah. It's translated mostly arm of God. But it's zeroah as the seed. His own seed has gotten him the victory.
Something I heard the other day about cloning, that it doesn't take a sperm cell to fertilize the egg.
It takes an eyebrow, a fingernail.
Yeah, symbolic that man's efforts have reached that.
This crazy Italian doctor says there's going to be a little boy clone that's born this February. But none of his friends believe him. All righty. Anybody else?
Talking about the condition of Esau made me remember this kid's verse that goes, I see Esau sitting on a seesaw.
I see Esau sitting on a bungee cord.
That's it? There's not more?
There's probably more, but that's enough.
There's the takeaway.
That is the punchline, John.
Think about it. Maybe there should be more.
Think about it and report back tomorrow.
Yeah. Think about it over Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, yeah. So, do we have Bible study tomorrow?
Bible study tomorrow morning.
And we're not having a Friday?
You show up and get mad.
Friday. I'm pretty sure I won't be here tomorrow, but I may end up here because I always forget.
Tomorrow is Thanksgiving.
I'll send you an email.
Yeah, they don't do any good. I don't read them. I want to do the last word as the. Well, I'll talk. Take a big guy.